knowledge fire.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Oh, wait, sorry. What? We worship at the cult of the
yes,
altar
that's
of
what
Celine
we do. We
and,
worship at the
talk about
that,
Alex Jones.
Yeah, there we go. Dan.
Yes.
Dan?
Jordan.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot. Why don't you go first?
Why don't I go first?
Kick it around a little bit.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I was about to say granola again.
Oh, you can't say granola
deep
twice.
Deep into granola.
Can't say granola
yeah,
twice.
I know.
My bright spot, Dan, is around this time of year. Mm-hmm. Every year, my cousin and I get together and we go to a ball game. I don't know if you know this or not, Dan, but
I know you love the stick.
I appreciate the game of baseball.
True. You love the steals.
And we didn't get to do that last year. And this year, we just got the tickets and we're going to a game.
Oh,
and
that's great.
It feels so amazing. Mm-hmm. It feels so amazing. I'm like shivering with excitement. I can't wait to go.
That's great.
It'll be amazing.
Who are they playing? Who are the Cubs playing?
Who cares?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Also, it's the Pirates, so who cares? But again, the Cubs are terrible this year, so again, who cares?
All right.
They're probably going to lose.
All right. Oh, let's see. What do I got? I guess, I don't know. It's tough. This is sort of a hypothetical bright spot.
All right. Like, I'm listening.
I think I feel comfortable enough to maybe try to check out a gym again.
Ooh.
You know, like, we're vaccinated.
That's good. Yeah, think, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a bright spot.
Wearing a mask, I think we're at a point where I could feel comfortable, whereas, you know, like before, certainly there was no ability to
sure.
exist in that kind of space.
Well, I mean, your last visit to the gym was nightmarish,
yeah.
Hellish.
That
yeah.
It was a little scary to see that level of...
It was passive manslaughter. Is that one way of putting
it? I think it might have worked out better than better than passive manslaughter,
sure.
But it certainly was not for lack of trying.
No,
there was a lot of irresponsibility going on. And
yeah.
Did not care for it,
yeah.
But I feel like it's about time.
That's
I feel
great.
Pretty good about that.
Yeah.
I always enjoy going to the gym.
Spring,
yep.
Time to go out, hit the beach of Lakeshore.
Sure.
Take your shirt off and really just
sure.
You know,
I was down by the lake the other day.
What were you
wandering
doing?
Around
you doing
on some
the...
rocks?
What were you doing wandering around on rocks?
Considering jumping in.
Were you
just enjoying the lake? It was
were
a
nice
you
doing an Abilify commercial? Was
I
that
was.
What was
yes.
happening right there? Staring off into the middle distance.
It was a nice day. So Jordan, today we have an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about April 30th, 2021.
Blackpink.
I was going to
say
I'm
even...
Dan.
You almost said I'm Dan.
Shit.
2021, I'm Black Damn.
This is unforced error on my part.
Yeah, well, I said Black Deck, I think so. I don't think either
you
of us succeeded.
This stupid
yeah,
bit.
This is a terrible idea.
So yeah, I said on our last episode that we were going to be covering the end of the week.
Yes.
You know, because, you know, Rudy Giuliani is
of course
got raided
yeah,
and what have
we got to figure out what's going
but
on there.
I couldn't waste time with that because on Thursday, news broke about Roger Stone's involvement in the Matt Gaetz affair.
I don't recall anything beyond somebody thinking, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give Roger Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Roger, I have a tattoo of Richard Nixon on my back, Stone.
Yes.
Incriminating evidence.
I'm going to write a confession letter and give it to sneaky Roger Stone.
I am going to give this crucial piece of evidence to the single worst person to have it.
And I will keep snapshots of offers of bribes to get a pardon.
Mm.
Yeah, there was a Daily
so
Beast
good.
Article that pretty bad
pretty
looking.
Damning.
Yeah. I mean, like, look. anything could be fake.
No, here's why it's so believable. Because
the players involved act like themselves.
Exactly. And everybody's so stupid. Nobody's doing anything. Like, even a half-assed attempt at Googling how to not get arrested for these specific crimes would be like, don't give it to Roger Stone.
Well, the part of it that makes it even more believable on a personal level for me is that, like, you know, they had their their texting app set to delete the messages.
Yes.
And Roger followed through with that, whereas Joel Greenberg did not.
Ah, now that's where we're in.
That strikes me as genuine.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. So that came out. I was like, well, the 30th is going to be fucked up. Friday's got to be fucked up.
Alex, of course.
His buddy is like on the hook here in this Daily Beast article talking with this guy who's admitting to having sex with a 17-year-old for money, trying to get Roger, Alex's buddy,
to get him
a pardon from Trump, and it appears
through
the texts that Roger is like, that's a thing that's done.
250K. Yeah, no big deal.
Wow. So big news day for Alex.
I am going to put $250,000 worth of Bitcoin on Roger Stone not calling in on Friday.
He does not show up.
I will
spoil that.
I will take my $250,000, please.
I didn't agree to that. But yeah, Roger is he is not to be found, not to be seen.
My lawyers have told me to pray more.
We do get a lawyer show up.
Oh yeah, that's not surprising.
Yep. So Jordan, we'll get into this and see what Alex's response is. But before we do, I got to take a little moment and say thank you. And welcome in some walks. So first,
that's a great idea.
Someone tried to catfish my mom with a picture of Alex Jones, and now I'm here. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. I assume the path that everyone took to our show.
Sure. Next, actual biblical Satan. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Hail Satan.
Next, human cat Rimera. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thank you very much, human cat Rimera.
Thank you. Next, Fruitsy Collins. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Fruitsy Collins.
Thank you. And Bianca Donk. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Bianca Donk.
Every time I read that name, I can't not think honky tonk, Bianca Donk. Remember that song?
I do.
Honky tonk, Bianca Donk?
I do remember honky tonk, Bianca Donk. And it's...
Man, what a great time in culture.
You know what's weird? Every time you remember something, I get sadder.
Yeah. I don't know why I need to retain the memory of honky tonk badonka donk.
I know.
But then other things slip my mind.
No, there's so many things.
You know, that song is one of the main reasons I hate the Doors.
All right, end of the episode. Yeah. We have to end after that. That was perfect. You won podcasting.
Well, I'd like to take that win and transition it over into wishing a happy birthday to Ying out there. I don't know when Ying's birthday is, but it's in May, from what I understand.
Somewhere around.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I also don't know the name of the person who wished them a happy birthday.
Why would you? That's not important.
The screen name is Dan didn't say my joke name.
See, there you go.
Sometime in May.
It looks like you've been had.
Sometime in May, there is a person out there named Ying who has a birthday. And also an anniversary with a person whose screen name is Dan didn't say my joke name. So it's vague.
Here's what I love about us.
Uh-huh.
One, shows wouldn't do this, what we're doing right now.
Sure.
But two, shows that did do this would do follow-up stuff. But that's why you come to us. You come to us for us to vaguely know a little bit enough to be like, you're great.
Like to suggest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jordan, let's get into it. Okay. April 30th.
All right.
Friday.
Let's do it.
Alex's show started with some troubling news.
Matt Gaetz?
Nope.
Nope.
It's troubling news that comes in the form of the voiceover.
Coming to you live from the Infowars.com studios in the recaptured state of Texas, it's Alex Jones.
When did they recapture it?
I'm glad you responded that way, because I couldn't tell if we've talked about that before or if that's new.
New to me.
Okay.
That's new to me. When did they recapture it from who?
I don't know.
It was Occupied Texas.
Yes. Then for his entire career, it's been Occupied Texas.
But no. But then FEMA it was liberated. It was FEMA Region 6. But then he was liberated for a while, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
I think there was a time where
they
were like...
Also, isn't the state currently turning blue?
Yeah, I guess it's been recaptured.
Yeah, maybe that's meant to be like recaptured by Democratic voters.
Could be. I don't know. I mean, the more Latinx people are allowed to vote in Texas, the more it is being recaptured from the colonialists. So that's nice.
Yeah, I thought that was strange. And I think I might have heard that before in the past, but it struck me as very new. And I don't know what it's in reference to. I have
struck
no
me.
Idea.
Struck me.
So Alex
recaptured. Who got it?
Alex.
Oh, okay.
And and Joe Rogan.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
So Alex starts the show off with some Lana Del Rey, and it is
too loud. In a mood.
No, it's more aggressive than some of the more more symphonic, moody Lana Del Rey songs.
Sure.
But it's too loud, and they did not mix this well.
I am your host, Alex Jones, and I'm extremely honored and blessed to be here with you today. I want to lay out a great truth to you up front, and then I'm going to give you more evidences of it. We're a very small planet hurtling through space, orbiting a standard yellow star, two-thirds of the way out of the spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy.
Get them.
There are 7.5+ billion people on this planet. The globalists see themselves as guardians of the Earth, guardians of the galaxy.
What?
And that they are doing stunning, poisoning, dumbing down, and then culling of the human population.
Sure.
And when you see their approach to animals, you see their same approach to us. The EU has laws that have been placed for more than a decade now that you don't take a sheep into a slaughterhouse and hit it in the head with a hammer. That's too crude. You know, it kills it pretty much right away or knocks it out.
Man, your buddy was selling pardons for money. What do you got to say?
And then you butcher it. And so that's what they're doing, is poisoning us, dumbing us down with drugs and electromagnetic radiation and all those other systems. And psychologically confusing us, taking God away from us, separating us from God.
Sure.
So we don't have any North Star.
Sure.
And then we'll be so stunned, so diseased, so much in a mesmerized sleep state that they'll be able to then go ahead and gut us, chop us up nicely, and end the species as we know it, so these super predators can play God.
Right.
Or not.
I think I just heard that Matt Gaetz was going to jail. I don't know what you heard.
All I heard is just stuff you can just say, no.
Nah.
I don't know what humane practices at slaughterhouses have to do with.
No, that's... Because you got it in the slaughterhouse, right. No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. That was a book and a movie.
I just hear Alex saying things that I reject.
Yeah.
It's not based on anything.
No, that's one of those things where somebody
that's
starts talking.
Time.
Yeah, and after a while you just go, screw you, don't care.
Or exactly what you were doing is like, isn't there something you should be talking about?
Yeah.
It's conspicuous.
Hey, aren't there crimes? Yeah. Didn't y'all commit crimes?
About this.
Seems like you would be talking about all of them crimes.
Yeah. So Alex gets, just talking through it.
Just got to get through it.
They need to bankrupt us and put us into a position of total control. And that's what all of this is about. But here are the really huge, gigantic issues that everybody needs to be made aware of. And that is...
many of us...
that is that the globalists are moving us into a post-human world.
Oh, man. A special report just starts playing.
Somebody in there is... I'm telling you, Dan. The music was too loud.
Yeah.
We've seen too many appropriate song choices.
I think...
It's real.
Also, I don't know if I have a clip of it, but Alex played Tarzan Boy on this episode, which he hasn't played in a really long time.
I'm telling you, there's a secret patriot inside the InfoWars studio.
But here's the problem.
Sending messages.
Here's the problem. It's that, like... the line between fucking with Alex and incompetence is indiscernible.
Oh, no. It's impossible to know.
Yeah.
I mean,
but also, there's nothing better than that noise he made.
I know! It's just that moment of real resignation.
Yeah.
Of just like, this is how it is.
He's too tired to even get mad.
This is how it's going
something.
To be.
Yeah.
This is how it was. This is how it's going to be for the future.
Oh,
just
God,
get
I love
used
it.
To it.
So Alex has a special report that he wants to play, and it might have been that one that started playing accidentally. I'm not entirely sure, but here he sets that up.
But let me get these part of a report. Greg Reese normally puts out 3 to 5 minute reports. They're all excellent. Yeah. I called him up at 6 o'clock last night. And I said, Greg, will you stay late tonight and tomorrow morning and get out a report on this? Because Joe Rogan had the courage to have this guest on, who's a big investigative journalist, the Washington Post. And that was 2 days ago last night, 3 days ago today. And it didn't get any coverage because they know it's true. They don't want to attack Joe Rogan for, oh, you had a Washington Post reporter on about Fauci being behind the Wuhan lab and the leak and covering it up, which is true and which is huge. But to have this come out and Joe Rogan cover it is massive. If we can force this story out, this could really devastate the New World Order and their whole operation.
So recently, Rogan had an episode where he talked to a guy named Josh Rogan, R-O-G-I-N. So sure, not related.
No, I understand. And Josh Rogan. Gotcha.
This guy's a reporter who worked for the Washington Post. I watched the relevant part of the interview, and I don't find it to be super convincing. That said, Josh was explaining to Rogan why the theory that the virus started in that Wuhan lab is not necessarily completely crazy. He doesn't prove or even claim definitively that he has information that Fauci or the lab is responsible for the outbreak. He's just reiterating information that's been widely publicly discussed over the entire last year. There's some circumstantial evidence that makes people think that it got loose from a lab. There's some circumstantial evidence that makes it look like the virus was naturally occurring. That's not even a new or controversial thing to say.
Yeah.
It's just that generally experts who have looked at it feel the natural explanation is far more likely.
Yeah, no, there was like 2 weeks ago, there was another story where it's like, DOD can't rule out possibility. And you're like, well, yeah, of course not. They're a bunch of, yeah.
Proving a negative is really, really hard unless it's a binary possibility
right. And
you prove the affirmative.
Right.
Like, it's very difficult. And so, obviously, people who are talking about this seriously deal with it as
such. Sure, sure. Only unserious people would be like, there is no possible way I declare upon... Yeah. Like Alex.
And people like Alex will create that of their opposition. They will create that straw
exactly.
man of their opposition because
exactly.
it's easier to argue against.
Yeah.
So Josh kind of seems like a little bit of a dick, only because I don't believe that he's unaware of what he's doing. Like, he's not some guy on his first press appearance. He's a guy with a career in media. He knows that what he's doing is lending the credibility of his mainstream media credentials to be used exactly how Alex is using this clip on his show now. Unless Josh had some actual evidence of anything, the behavior he displayed in that interview was at best irresponsible. This next clip from Alex's show, which is complete bullshit, is the direct result of that kind of irresponsibility.
Bombshell Friday Live, Washington Post investigation. Says Fauci behind Wuhan leak, says he's the main suspect.
So now it's turned into a Washington Post investigation that Fauci is the main suspect in getting that COVID out there.
Oof.
So, yeah, I mean, all you've done is create, like, because what's proven by the conversation that he has with Rogan?
Nothing.
What extra do they bring to the table other than sort of
the name Washington Post reporter?
Right.
That's what they bring to it.
Yeah.
They bring legitimacy from the Washington Post.
And it's not,
Rogan gets to call it a win. Yeah.
It's not introducing a new idea that, like, there's a slight possibility that there's a lab origin. It's not that. That's not new. It's normalizing the conclusion that it was from a lab.
No,
that's just irresponsible. And I just don't believe that somebody who could have the level of career that he does would be able to go on Rogan and not recognize that your behavior would be interpreted by listeners that way.
Right. Well, I mean, in that situation, there's two things going on. One, if you have any credibility that you've built up through being a reporter of any kind of quality or something, and you go on InfoWars or Rogan or whatever, they're there to steal your credibility. They don't give a fuck about you. Your credibility is what they're stealing, so they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there to get attention.
Right.
That's the deal.
Maybe sell something you're selling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're when you're a reporter for the Washington Post, if you don't know that you're there to sell something and they're there to steal your credibility, you're stupid. Like, that's beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Because that's the only reason you would go. It's the only reason.
Not because Joe's fun?
No, not because Joe's such a good
hand. I hear Jamie's a cool dude. I don't actually know anything about him.
Never heard of him. I heard he Googles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex has a little friend from across the pond who pays a visit on this episode. Paul Joseph Watson.
Sure.
Boy, great. This is really just all about anti-Muslim agitation.
There we go. I was wondering.
Oh, boy.
Yay. A lot of people say, oh, well, the French, they capitulated to Hitler, so what? The French are good people, folks. They've just been controlled by tyrants like we are. And we're all French tomorrow. London is Londistan. Look at our borders are wide open. Okay, so France is the gateway to the UK and to the rest of Europe and the world. So we need to stand with the French people. They're good people.
So the whole thing is essentially that this is an extreme instance of anti-Muslim programming. Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, just geographically.
Mm-hmm.
How could France be the gateway?
The channel. Isn't the channel from France to...
No, I understand that the channel is from France to England, but I mean... You know,
gateway,
like for Europe, like France, like if you're looking at a map of Europe.
Right.
Right. And you got the whole Europe thing.
There are some things.
I recall France being here.
Yeah.
And then all this other stuff being in the way for the gate part.
Yeah. I mean, you make an interesting geographical argument.
That's fair.
But does it feel real?
That's true. It doesn't feel as real.
And does that argument scare you? Because if not, throw it away.
There's 15 countries between them and the gateway to London.
Channel.
So, yeah, what's going on here is that there was an open letter that got published in France that was about the fear of Muslims.
And we'll
talk about it here in a little bit. Here's Paul discussing it.
Well, this is an open letter sent to the government of France, Alex. And we've heard noises from these military personnel before, both active duty and retired, by the way, many of them retired generals, warning about this situation on the edges of the suburbs of major cities in France. And this mirrors across many major European capitals, as well as other French cities, such as Lyon, that you have this parallel society whereby it's completely undermined the French government and their monopoly of power, which is essentially what government is.
First of all, Alex's entire libertarian identity is based on the rejection of the state having monopoly on power. The entire reason that the Second Amendment is so important is that if the populace can be armed, then the state can't attain a complete monopoly of force. It's so weird to hear Paul be concerned about threats to the monopoly of power of the French government.
Yeah,
so
I'm real
weird.
Confused
why,
by that.
Wonder why that is.
That's
so
wild.
Strange.
Yeah.
Anyway, this open letter that Paul is talking about was an insane letter that was published in a far-right magazine called Valeurs Actuelles in France last week.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly, it was published on the exact 60th anniversary of a failed coup attempt against Charles de Gaulle. Back in 1961, the idea of allowing Algeria to enjoy self-determination was put to a vote, and Algerian independence won the day overwhelmingly. Naturally, many former generals, particularly those in Algeria, didn't like this, and they decided to form a junta and try to take over major cities in Algeria.
What? I was running things and then democracy? Boo, fascism.
Ultimately, this didn't work out for these generals, but it did lead to many of them forming a group known as the Organisation Armée Secrète, which was a terrorist group aimed at destabilizing the situation in Algeria in order to maintain French colonial rule.
Because what needs to... So you want the government of Algeria to not have a monopoly on power,
right.
Dan.
Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So it seems like this may be more than a coincidence that this letter warning of an insurrection was published on the anniversary of a failed insurrection aimed at maintaining an archaic and offensive status quo, particularly when you read that one of their stated complaints about various anti-racism groups is that they want to tear down statues of famous French colonialists. Like, it's just, it's a little bit aggro.
That does sound a little bit like memorializing the day Mishma tried to overthrow Japan, like with a nice little letter, like Emperor Hirohito was pretty great. I don't know if you guys remember that guy. He's pretty great.
Naturally, noted fascist Marine Le Pen has voiced support for the letter and its signers, which is very clearly a part of her push towards running again in next year's election against Macron. So good.
Hey, you know, ugh.
Yep. This is just anti-Muslim agitation.
Oh, okay.
Well, what we know is the UN admits a doubling 10 years ago of Christian persecution, now a tripling worldwide. So if you're a Christian anywhere in the world, the Muslims are killing you, including Africa. We'll be right back with Paul Joseph Watson about what's coming next. Stay with us.
There are very legitimate issues about Christian persecution around the world.
Sure.
And it would be wrong to not recognize that or to deny that or minimize it. But
sure.
The answer is not oppressing Muslims.
It's not turning
it around.
Okay. Now I see what you're saying, Dan. And when you say that, you think what we're going to do is we're going to break the cycle of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you considered, though, that on the other side of that cycle, we're the ones committing violence? So, like, as long as we die before the cycle turns around again, we're golden.
I will say that depending on which side you're on, it feels very different, but it's still bad.
It does seem different, yes.
So one of the things that I think that is kind of becoming a thesis of mine over time, as I see this behavior just repeated by over and over and over again by people in the InfoWars sphere, is that I think one of the characterizing elements of what makes these people in this world is an inability or an unwillingness to recognize the difference between fiction and reality.
Right.
I really think that it's just something is... I think it's more unwillingness than inability.
Yeah.
I think that that's the...
Or maybe not unwillingness so much as all of the incentives push towards why deal with reality. The incentives are towards believing in false reality. Mm-hmm. So why would you go back to real reality? You'd have to get like a regular job and... Yeah, no. Alex isn't going to just like bag groceries.
But it's not just Alex. I mean, it's Paul too.
Sure.
Charlie Hebdo, Michel Houellebecq, famed French author and intellectual, published the book. So he'd already written it. It was published on the day of the Charlie Hebdo massacre. And he predicted that there would be so much discord and violence because of these Muslim communities that have not been integrated and that hate France. Allied with the left-wing protest movement, by the way, ISIS literally puts out in their manifesto that they can make an alliance with the left-wing because they also hate France and the West to bring it down. So he puts out a book on the day of Charlie Hebdo warning that the contrived solution to all this would be a Muslim government in a coalition with a left-wing government that takes power and promises to get it all under control.
So this book by Michel Houellebecq is not a prediction. It's not even a nonfiction book. It's a novel that presents a fictional future where there's socialists and a Muslim Brotherhood political party that band together to resist the rising power from the extreme right-wing National Front.
Right.
That's the plot, one of the driving forces of the plot of this fiction novel.
Sure. In the fiction novel, there's a right-wing government oppressing everybody, the type that somebody like Paul Joseph Watson would appreciate.
Mm.
And then they band together, the Muslim Brotherhood and the leftists. And so Paul is taking that as an attack on the real-world right-wing.
Well, some people have found the book itself to be like fairly Islamophobic, and it traffics in some troubling tropes, but I'm not really entirely sure because I haven't read it. I just read a description of the plot.
Gotcha.
I do know, though, unlike Paul Joseph Watson, that this is a novel, not a prediction of things to come. Like, this dude looked into God's eye, like Alex claims to, and has found this vision of the future.
I understand, but that kind of so you're telling me that it's a novel, right?
Paul says it's a prediction.
Okay, but if you're right, that means that all those Dragonlance novels I read when I was younger aren't going to come true.
Oh no, Jordan. I have bad
Dan,
news.
No.
Those
no,
were.
No, but I was going to meet a dragon.
Jordan, those happened in the past.
No.
That's not the future. That's history.
Oh, no. Time's a flat circle. It'll come back around.
Yeah. So Paul is just a real, real piece of garbage.
The French government literally came out before the first coronavirus lockdown, the Ministry of the Interior, and said that it shouldn't be enforced in these migrant ghetto areas. So again, literally creating a separate law where the enforcement, the lockdown, the oppression imposed on us is not imposed on them because they're a specially protected class.
You can hear Paul's angle on this story, which is that poor migrant communities are being exempted from the draconian and fascistic rules that the white men of Europe are being subjected to because immigrants are a separate higher class of people to the globalists. Interestingly, there's another side to this story, and that is the one based in reality, where the governments of Europe, particularly in France, didn't allocate funds to provide assistance to poor migrant communities. Non-governmental organizations were working to advocate for the establishment of mobile clinics near areas where migrants camped, but their appeals generally went unheard. The accommodation of people experiencing homelessness was tragic at the beginning of the pandemic, and there's still serious issues now. But you can see how Paul is rewriting governmental negligence towards a vulnerable population into actually secretly being them getting favorable treatment. That sucks.
Yep.
Also, how do you enforce a stay at home order to people who are experiencing homelessness? Like, what are you even talking about?
I don't know if there's anything more right wing than having white people ignore immigrants and then blaming them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, that's the right wing.
And that's about all Paul's up to here. Boy, it's a bad appearance. Now, Alex dropped something that I thought was really, really interesting and confused me a lot.
What is it, a hot potato?
It's now official. They're parroting from the BBC to CNN to ABC Australia that you will get your freedom when you have your vaccine. The moment of freedom for you is when you get your vaccine. These are the quotes everywhere, and it gets even crazier. Top scientists, epidemiologists, you named, are coming out and saying Yale medical doctors that the majority of people in the hospitals now are from the vaccine, and they're telling people that they have COVID. Wow. We predicted that. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen.
So that thing about, like, your freedom comes when you get the vaccine.
Yeah.
There was just somebody on a talking head show that was discussing how some people are not motivated by the idea that you can protect other people by getting vaccinated.
Right.
So maybe appeal to people's selfishness
right.
as a means of getting people to recognize the importance of getting a vaccine. And I understand what this person's saying. I also think it's a misguided perspective, but I don't think that taking the advice of one person on CNBC as if it's the global position of enemy faction.
No.
I don't think that's a smart thing to do, but that seems to be what Alex is up to.
No, I think a lot of people should take the things that I say and extrapolate them and put them upon every single person who disagrees with them. I think that's a great idea.
It's a little silly, and Alex plays this clip with this person over and over again. It's just, it doesn't prove any point.
Yeah, that's annoying.
But I have no idea where Alex was getting that statistic that a majority of people who are hospitalized now are there due to the vaccine, not from COVID. And because he's not providing a source, there's nothing I can do with that.
I would argue that if that were true, that would be the biggest news in the history of ever.
I can, Jordan, tell you this, though. A newly published CDC study found that among people 65 and older, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines were 94% effective at preventing hospitalization, which is huge.
Yeah.
If Alex can produce this data, I'd be happy to look at it. But at this point, all available information points in the exact opposite direction.
Yeah, especially considering how sensationalized it is whenever things don't work, where it's like, you just said, oh, it's 94% effective at stopping hospitalizations. But how many times have we read an article that says that, but instead of saying 94% effective, they're like, 6,000 people in the hospital now because of vaccines.
Mm.
And then you're like, out of how many? Oh, 100,000. You know, like, it's, oh, you guys suck at this. If that were true, imagine how the sensationalized news would report that shit.
Mm.
Everyone dying.
Yeah.
Everyone's dead.
Everyone would, if it were true, people would sound like Alex, but worse, probably.
Yeah, he sounds so terrifying. Yeah. Alex is taking this news very well.
So Alex has another guest on, and it's that preacher from Calgary who was on, Arthur Pawlowski. He's the guy who yelled at, I mentioned this.
Sure,
and
he's the dick preacher, yeah.
We didn't talk about this, but we mentioned it, that he was on. He's the other preacher. There's the Grace,
he's the other dick
there's
preacher.
There's the Grace Life Church, which is the one where Alex was trying to get everyone to go.
Right.
And then this is another guy who has a church, and he wouldn't let people in to, they'd gotten a bunch of complaints about them having services and not following COVID guidelines. And so he just yelled. There's a video of him just yelling, out, out. And the people are like, we just want to talk to you, but out.
See, now that's what you become a preacher for.
It's pretty.
Kicking people out of a church has got to be an all-time good feeling.
Yeah, so he's on, and I'm going to go ahead and we'll talk about
it. The Lord has abandoned you people. Out, out, I say.
We'll talk about this a little bit this time.
But I wanted to get Artur Pawlowski, or Art Pawlowski, the great preacher that feeds over 1,000 homeless people a week and who has his little church that's been raided a bunch by the provincial police and others, and now with SWAT team to give us an update, streetchurch.ca. It was on Monday. Their services are coming up this weekend. They may try to lock the church up like they've done many others. He's saying he's going to go to one of the places like Walmart or wherever. He's going to announce it via email to his flock. And so they'll have it where they do allow it.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm not sure, based on this interview, if he's saying that he's going to do this, like go preach at a Walmart.
Yeah.
But on April 27th, the last time he was on, here's what Alex said.
You've got Walmarts filled with people shoulder to shoulder, but I cannot have my parents for coffee in my house. That's against the law. I cannot have a church because that's against the law. But I can go with my church, with my friends, with my family members to IKEA and have a coffee over there. And
oh, that's a great idea. Why don't you guys go to Walmart, say you're going, go in and then hold a church service there. You'll be allowed to. Of course, then they'll throw you out. But that'd be a great stunt.
That would be a great stunt. So I don't know if the reality is that this preacher has taken Alex's advice for a stunt, but that's clearly something that Alex came up with when the two of them were talking a couple of days prior.
Yeah, I remember my favorite parts of the Bible where when Jesus got ideas from the devil and the devil was like, man, you should really try that out. That's a great stunt. Give it a shot. Make all them loaves.
I remember there was a couple of chapters that really stuck out to me when I was a kid in Bible study that were about God making dank memes.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. So this preacher, man, I don't care for the way this guy thinks.
And the health inspectors received a permission from a judge to use any force necessary. And the judge's name, that's even more fascinating in the story, is David Gates. Out of 7 billion names, they have found a judge that is a family of Bill Gates. I don't know. David Gates, the judge here in Calgary.
What? 7 billion names? What are you talking about?
Grow up. Grow up, sir.
How many people?
Sir, grow up.
Are there 7 billion names?
There are not 7 billion names, Dan. We have had to reuse a few.
Yeah, I think families generally.
There's 6,999,998,000.
Wow. Yeah, man. So the health department got a warrant to enter his church.
Sure.
And the person who signed it was Gates. What are the odds?
I man,
probably zero. Oh, it's not a coincidence.
If I was in that church and I heard him just go like, and it's the same last name as Bill Gates, what does that tell you? I'd be like, oh no, I guess religion is fake. Shit, you personally are so stupid. I don't believe in God
anymore.
You've
shaken my faith.
Yes, yeah. You're too dumb.
Oh, no.
My whole life needs to be reevaluated.
You're suggesting that all people named Gates are related.
That's not good.
Even if it's just for fun.
That's still crazy.
No.
You're a dumb.
So Alex and this dude are talking, and they get to discussing how the left, right? The left.
Oh, it's us.
Mm-hmm. What they're doing is they're using the budget.
Okay.
Or something.
Sure.
In order to get the police to attack Christians. That's what's going on.
Interesting.
Why are the police so happy in your area and in other areas with other churches to put fences up around them and to behave like something out of Soviet Russia?
Because the mayor, the homosexual Muslim mayor, Nahed Nenshi, threatened to defund the police. He took $20 million out of the police budget. And then after a backlash, she gave them back the $20 million.
Well, that's what it is. Exactly. The left everywhere is holding the police hostage by the purse strings. They don't want to get rid of the police. They want the police shutting down churches, not stopping carjackers.
That's exactly what is happening right now.
Oh, boy.
If that is on the table, I will absolutely hold the police hostage. If that is on the table, somebody let me hold the police hostage. I will do it right fucking now.
Yeah, this guy's worrying me a little bit.
I did not know that was on the table.
Well, you got these this guy is worried about
the, don't repeat what he said about the
I wasn't going to. I was just going to say he's worried about the cops.
Yeah, we're
being
all worried.
Manipulated by the budgetary concerns
so
in order to destroy churches.
That's my biggest fear.
And at a certain point, you ought to ask yourself a question, and that is, when are you going to rise up?
I mean, when is going to be enough? When, where are you going to rise up, people?
Well, I mean, notice the mask are never going away. I told people they're never going to end this until people say no.
That's right. We'll never say. What we know about bullies, that bullies, they will never stop bullying until you stop the bullying. And that's what it needs to happen. Three words. No, get out. No, get out.
Well, even the New York Times and Homeland Security saying it's a crisis that Christians won't take the vaccine. It's not
it is.
A vaccine.
You're
it
all
is
dumb.
A Franken genetic reengineering program.
See what I'm saying? You proved
That's exactly what it is, and it's killing now more people than the so-called virus did.
Oh, boy.
What are we going to have to do? I don't know. But what are we going to have to do?
I don't know. It's,
that's
it's,
wild.
It's a very interesting perspective to see. Actually, I think the only thing that I really find interesting about this is how much it makes sense. Like, Alex started this sort of they're closing down all these churches thing with the Grace Life Church.
Yeah.
They had that he had that reporter on from Rebel News, and she wouldn't go along with his, like, everyone needs to come.
Right.
And I don't think that was fun for Alex.
No.
So now he's found Artur Pawlowski, who is like, everybody's got to rise up.
Hey, look, I don't need any of your rebel media reporting bullshit. I want a stochastic terrorist.
I think that this guy is exactly what Alex would have wanted out of the other one.
Totally.
Still be talking about the Grace Life Church
if he was willing to call for an uprising.
Yes. Yeah, this guy is exactly what Alex wants.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently Alex gets a lot of emails about big medical news that never really makes it to the show. And actually, I think that's good because they would just be anecdotal stories.
That's true.
It would be meaningless.
It'd be chain emails.
Our email is full of doctors and lawyers and teachers and nurses, and we call them, they send us the evidence, where they are giving people shots and people are dropping dead at the vaccination centers. And it's not just from the COVID shot. Suddenly the flu shots are killing a bunch of people. Something's going on here.
Yes. We knew that. We knew that Gates announced a few years ago that he wants to eliminate 6.5 billion people. Now I got the judge, Gates, that is issuing illegal orders against the Constitution, the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. We know something is going on, and Christians has always been in opposition to genocide and evil. So I think that's why they're cracking on us so hard, because we're exposing them.
Have you? So yeah, I guess, I mean, like, Alex, if he's getting these emails, they would just be anecdotal stories, but they send all the proof, and then it just sort of never...
Also, buddy, come on. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, also,
come on.
Also, that killing 6.5 billion people is the Georgia Guidestones. He's just referencing rocks in Georgia.
Yeah, man. I really don't think that I would like my Christian preacher adding a little Georgia Guidestone in there every now and again. You know, you don't want people adding,
making another reference to how the judge's name is Gates.
Yeah, that's not good. No. That's not good. Nope.
I got this judge name Gates.
That's not good.
So, Pawlowski's the kind of guy, though, who's not going to be deterred by this the state down on him.
Sure doesn't seem like it.
Well, what's the Bible verse, Pastor? I forget that the gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's church.
That's exactly. That's why tomorrow I'm opening the church. Tomorrow I'm going to be preaching. And if I am to go down, let the whole world see what is happening in the city of Calgary, in this beautiful country of ours, Canada. And at least let there be thousands of people witness.
That's right. So you're having Saturday Sabbath services. Tell us what time and where. People can go to the website as well.
Interestingly, Artur did have his services the next day on this Saturday.
How'd it go?
Things didn't go well.
Oh, what happened?
I'll just read to you here from an article in the Calgary Herald. Quote, community members living on living near Street Church say preacher Artur Pawlowski and his followers have threatened neighbors with violence after speaking out against the congregation's disregard for public health measures and their hateful rhetoric.
Christians have always been against violence and no, not their style.
From this article, quote, our neighbors here have been threatened for at least 7 weeks by these anti-maskers who are violating health regulations and spreading messages of hate, said Michelle Robinson, who lives in the neighborhood. This is a very similar thing to what happened after the big uproar surrounding that Grace Life Church, where Alex implored everyone to show up. People did show up there, and you know, who knows if it was because of the Rebel News reporting or just some blog or Alex, who knows exactly. But Elizabeth Simmons, the deputy director of the Canadian Anti-Hate Network, told CTV this after, quote, monitoring the crowd. Quote, it would be accurate to say that the event attracted far-right and right-wing conspiracy-minded individuals,
it
for sure.
It would be.
This is important to understand. There's a reason why Alex is trying to ramp up and heighten the tension surrounding churches that refuse to cooperate with public health measures. This is an intentional strategy meant to create a standoff that will lead to a galvanizing moment for the extreme right. This is a super dangerous situation, and even if it doesn't escalate any further, the neighbors of this church are having to deal with an incredibly unfair circumstance where this narcissist in preacher's clothing is creating a powder keg in their front lawns. Like, it's just inappropriate. And we need to understand that this is an intentional thing. Whether or not Alex is sitting there with a whiteboard trying to draw out how to create
a martyr, yeah,
or to create a conflagration of some sort.
No, he might as well put a billion. I'm putting $1 million bounty on whoever can start a holy war.
He's trying to ramp up the tensions that would lead in that direction,
totally,
and hoping for the worst.
Yeah, well, I mean, whiteness didn't work in America, so let's try religion in Canada, I think, is what he's trying to do.
It's pretty upsetting, and I hope for all these situations to be navigated delicately.
Yeah. Good luck.
So Alex gets done with this dude, and he gets back to the news, and he's got a fucking bombshell.
All right, Alex Jones here, back live. There's a huge report that's going to be posted in the next 20 minutes to band.video that we worked on for a while because there's so many examples of it. I only wanted a few minutes of it, but it's 9 minutes of it. And it's going to be titled Proof Joe Biden Has Dementia, May 2021. That's a good way to put it. Or Spring 2021. Just so people know, this is a new update. Are just breaking, total proof Joe Biden has dementia and has been completely handled. He has permission for everything. It's just insane. And he admits while he has dementia that he stole the election. It's just unbelievable. So I have so many guests. I'm not going to have time to air this on the show today.
Really? You have proof
Did you just tell me that you have a 9-minute video that proves Joe Biden both has dementia and stole the election, but you don't have time today?
Yeah, no time.
We
have proof of Joe Biden confessing that he stole the election.
We have perhaps the most important piece of proof of the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the game that's being played here is he's trying to drive traffic to his website.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true.
And he knows that this is not worth his time on the actual show.
You know, one thing that people haven't really gotten me with yet is why I should care if Joe Biden has dementia. Mm. You know, like, I kind of don't care if they're Weekend at Bernie's-ing him, right? Like, so far, it's like, I don't want a monarch. True. I don't want a president who's doing all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm fine if he's dead. I'm fine if he's dead and they've got him in a scarecrow stick figure thing behind him and they're just wheeling him out and deep faking his speeches. I'm fine with that.
I feel like you speak for at least a segment of the population. I think we should get some polling on that.
I think everybody would be fine if you were just Weekend at Bernie's.
I don't know what the temperature of the country is. If we would be fine with a Weekend at Bernie's,
I think
presidency.
We would all be fine with a dead president.
We'll see. We'll see. Let's put it out.
A good test.
Let's put it out on Twitter.
All
put
right.
A poll
Let's
out.
See what happens. Yeah.
So anyway, back to statistics.
Sorry.
But you know about statistics?
Bombshell. 60% of new COVID patients are vaccinated. Dr. Harvey Reich, very respected Yale medical doctor, on new patients diagnosed with the coronavirus, more than half have been vaccinated. And they're having autoimmune diseases. They're having allergic responses. And the hospitals are being told, call it COVID. And, of course, they test positive for it because the PCR test is set up just like Theranos did.
So now that Alex has dropped a little bit of a specific piece of information, I can tell you what he's talking about. He almost certainly just saw this in a meme that was going around on social media. Alex has no idea who Harvey Reich is or where that quote comes from.
Yeah.
It turns out that it was from an interview that Reich did on Steve Bannon's podcast, where he said, quote, what clinicians are telling me is more than half of the new COVID cases they're seeing to treat is people who've been vaccinated. They've estimated 60% of new patients they've been treating have been people who have been vaccinated. So this is at best secondhand estimations based presumably on anecdotal information being thrown around on Steve Bannon's podcast.
Yeah.
That sounds more trustworthy than data. According to the CDC, as of April April 20th, there were 7,157 reported cases of people who were vaccinated who still contracted COVID. That's out of 87 million people who have been vaccinated. So that is not really that surprising of a number.
Everyone's dying!
Yeah. A CNN article from earlier in April had the figure at approximately 5,800 breakthrough cases, of which only 396 of those required hospitalization. So it seems hard to believe that these numbers could be accurate.
Yeah, it's tough whenever you're working on numbers that are such a huge scale, because what we should be saying is, wait, 396, only 396 needed hospitalization? Mm-hmm. We have miracles. We make miracles now. We create miracles. And all this God bullshit they keep talking about is insane, because only 376 people had to be hospitalized from a vaccine we created in under a year.
We need the ICP to make a song about this.
What are we doing? It's out under a year.
So, yeah, like I said, the numbers do not match up. And unless there's more than a secondhand story being told on Bannon's podcast, I'm just going to ignore this. But it's important to recognize that this is the level of backing that a claim needs to have for Alex to take it as gospel, as long as it lines up with the narratives that he's currently profiting off of.
Yep.
It's the only thing that really matters at all.
I think what's fun about Steve Bannon's podcast is, regardless of whether or not he previously was a very respected Yale medical doctor, the moment you go on Steve Bannon's podcast, very and respected are removed from my vocabulary.
Yeah, Yale also published something a few number of months back, I think in August, that was like critiquing and denouncing his fervent support for hydroxychloroquine as a COVID cure.
Yeah, Yale put out a, look at this fucking asshole, sorry.
Whoops.
He's got tenure.
Yeah.
What did we know?
So Alex believes that vaccines are going to be mandatory, and man, he says something that I think is really weird.
And it's going to be forced, folks. Once they get a majority to do it, they're going to say, oh, things would open, but you wouldn't do it, so there's still COVID-19, which they set a computer to claim everybody has. And then when you die, the other viruses and things they're actually releasing, or people are dying from the vaccines, they're not just going to die 6 months from now or 2 years from now, like the ferrets died in a couple months. That's for humans a couple of years out, because ferrets don't live as long. So they do animal studies, because they'll die quicker, but it's usually the same. So, you know, if a dog dies in a week, humans will probably die in 6 months. If
Science.
A ferret dies in a month, humans will die in a year.
That's math. Transitive property of ferrets.
If a rat dies in a week, a human dies in 6 months, a year.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
What they're doing.
I hate you so much. I hate you so much, Dan, for playing that clip.
Dog ears.
I hate you. I hate you. You.
Yeah.
Alex can say that. Uh-huh. You are supposed to keep me away from that shit, Dan.
No, because it's important to recognize that he thinks dog ears are literal.
I'm supposed to be protected from this.
That's the kind of stuff that takes your breath away.
Yeah, that's rough.
Wow.
Yeah, if a dog dies in a week. So he thinks that when we talk about dog years, we're not just talking about relative time spans for life. He thinks that we literally mean.
That's the only way I can make that make sense.
Yeah, he has
to think to approach this from a number of different directions, because I don't know if he knows this, but different animals have different biologies.
Nope, not true. Nope. Everybody,
some things
dog
that
ears.
Are toxic to some animals are not toxic to others.
Nope, all some, things one.
Some
we are all God's creatures.
Some responses that
all
animals
God's
have.
Image.
Okay, nope. It's just timing based.
Yep. I want to. I just can't.
It's amazing.
I just can't.
It's real good.
It is.
It's good. It's good stuff.
There's something admirable about a man who can so consistently say something that floors me.
Yeah, and confidently, and he repeated
just
multiple examples of how animals have different lifespans.
Multiple examples of the same wrong example that makes no sense whatsoever.
It's good stuff.
Damn.
So
just damn.
So Biden had given his remarks before Congress, and he had mentioned something to the effect of white supremacy is terrorism. And Alex is not happy about this.
Well, no, I wouldn't be surprised.
This just went up on InfoWars.com. I told you this was coming yesterday. Nobody else was talking about it. I wish everybody was. Tucker Carlson got it and covered it last night.
Of course.
He said, they're coming after you. They told you, being white inherently is bad. DOJ actively considering domestic terrorism law to target white supremacists. That's why they tell you Antifa doesn't exist, but white supremacism is just an epidemic. That's why everybody's a white supremacist.
To be clear, I don't think I would support any new laws for domestic terrorism. But I do think that the idea of taking white supremacy seriously as a terroristic threat is something that is long overdue. And it's also not surprising why Tucker and Alex are the people on the vanguard of yelling about this,
because
their entire, you know, their money is made by white victimhood.
Yeah.
So
your best bet there for them is, like, it's a slippery slope argument, but even then, you're arguing for white supremacy. Like, the end. That's what you guys are doing. You're not, because at no point are they like, well, what we should do is focus on the extreme elements of white supremacy. Nope. Mm-hmm. None of that. Just blanket. You're talking about white people. I will kill you.
It's really interesting that you say that, because I think it even becomes more clear as Alex talks about some other political figures speaking on the issue.
Sure.
Hours earlier, House Intelligence Committee Representative Adam Schiff and the rest of the Chinese spies on his committee.
What?
Alex Swallowswell, the center on the stage for the narrative by telling MSNBC's Noel Wallace that the predominant part of the domestic threat is white nationalist. We're not globalist. We can't ignore that because of a politically sensitivity that some of the folks are part of the Trump base.
We have to stop there really quick, because I think that Alex just tried to define white nationalist as just not globalist.
Not globalist. Yep.
That's not good.
No.
I don't believe that he doesn't know that that is a compound noun that has a specific meaning.
It's a problem.
I know that there are some people, like Coach Dave, who is one of them.
Sure.
Who I actually believe doesn't know what white nationalism means. He thinks he is a nationalist who happens to be white.
Yeah.
And that makes, he's like, I am a white nationalist.
I don't think
he understands.
No.
Alex does.
Yeah.
I do not, because I've heard him discuss some of the ideas.
Yeah.
So him couching that there is the opposite of globalist.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting, because Dave is astonishingly stupid.
Yes.
But Alex is stupid astonishingly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, let's finish this clip and then...
And they go on to say, the FBI, the CIA, the intelligence agencies are going to disrupt us. That's when you send the Green Berets in to kill people.
What?
That's what that means.
Is it?
So it's all here. It's all being announced. It's all being done. It is the twilight of our republic. It is a dictatorship.
So no, that's not necessarily what that means. But to be clear, what's going on is that Alex is defending white supremacy and white nationalism because he knows that it's a part of his power block.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that people are discussing how these things are a problem, and he's unwilling to separate himself from white nationalism because it's his bread and butter.
People keep saying that I'm a white nationalist, and that's way wrong. Now, I would just like my supporters to continue sending me Nazi coin. That's the new official branded cryptocurrency of InfoWars.
I only accept conflict
diamonds.
But
I don't know why people are calling me white supremacist. I just want people to call me apartheid Dan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I also think that Alex actually thinks that Swalwell's name is Swallowswell. That was something. That was the name that Roger gave to him when a couple years back when Roger was mad at Adam Schiff. And they had that blow up. and Roger would call him that. I think that Alex just doesn't realize that that's not his real name.
Because
he doesn't say it like as a joke.
Can we live in a dictatorship when the man who is telling me we are living in a dictatorship just told me that he has proof that the dictator of said dictatorship has dementia? And
admitted that he stole the election.
Yeah, that wouldn't really be a dictatorship, now would it?
Be a weird one.
It would be a strange one.
So speaking of weird ones,
we shouldn't be seduced into thinking that because we're white, we ain't right. And you don't win an argument by manipulating definitions. Do you agree, Norm, that you're a racist? Well, no. Well, that's because you're a racist.
So Norm Pattis is back to be a really sensitive white dude.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was a great joke, though.
I guess. It's not as good. Just to remind people, in case, look, I'm not
noted stand-up comedian.
I'm not saying that Norm is racist because he says he's not racist. I say he's racist because he does things like this.
Local comedy phenom.
This was 2 weeks ago.
I tried my debut at stand-up comedy the other night at a small club in Connecticut, and I ended my riff with the following. Hey, you know, I tried to buy woke insurance the other day. The crowd looked at me. What's woke insurance? Well, woke insurance is what you need if you're a white man, because I'm reading the paper, and everything that's wrong with this country is my fault. How am I going to pay for all of this?
Exactly.
I need woke insurance. And we're at a point where, you know, that sort of humor, it isn't necessarily farcical any longer.
It is. I think that, you know, in comedy, there's some things that are evergreen. Like,
sure.
I could probably hear some Mitch Hedberg one-liners.
Right.
They've heard 100 times.
What
and
was
still
his
make
best
me laugh.
Insurance bit?
This guy tried to give me to buy insurance for a donut. I said, I don't need insurance for a donut.
I used to be racist. Still am, but I used to too.
I got to get woke insurance.
Ooh, boy, racist Mitch Hedberg is a new character.
Norm Hedberg.
Norm Hedberg. Oh, God.
Don't let him tell you just because you're white, you're not right.
No.
All right.
I'm going to die.
So Norm is a real sensitive gentleman.
I love a racist escalator because it can never... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to get lost in that for a while. Yeah, we can't do that too long.
If you get inspired, please feel free.
Yes, I would know. But, racist Mitch Hedberg is going to live in my brain forever now.
Undoubtedly. So Alex wants to pair up Francis Boyle, the guy who...
directed 28 Days Later.
No,
really
Danny Boyle.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Francis Boyle is the guy who Alex has on to talk about the Wuhan lab
right,
and how
right.
all these people are Nazi scientists and what have you. He wants to get Francis Boyle and Norm together to have a lawsuit against vaccines.
Sure, do it. Yeah, let's get it done.
So that's pretty funny. But then mic down for this because Alex explains to Norm that the vaccines are dangerous, and Norm's response is hilarious.
Okay.
I've got to get him with Norm Pattison's other lawyers so that we can go with this. It's great to file and say religious exemption, First Amendment, Trump's your BS. Totally reasonable. I believe that Norm's right to sue on that. But we need other suits because this is new what's happening of them shoehorning genetic engineering, totally different system in. I mean, if I injected you with cyanide and called it a vaccine, would I get liability protection? If I injected you with, this is a mutagenic system. So I didn't get you on to preach at you, Norm. I'm just really pissed about this. You're taking action. You're a man of action. We salute you. But I got to get you with Dr. Boyle, who's on with us tomorrow. We're going to tape to air. It'll air at 4:00 tomorrow. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to get you his number because I think you guys teaming up is going to be huge. I'm going to stop ranting, but give me your take on what I just said.
I don't know enough about it to have an intelligent take. What you're telling me is that significant portions of what has been sold in the name of public health is actually a pretext for something else and has implicit dangers that we're not being warned about. If that is in fact true, that's an outrageous violation of trust. Look, we have laws in the United States that says a person is free to refuse medical treatment unless and in order to accept it, they must give informed consent. Now, I took the vaccine. I got double shots of Pfizer. Nobody warned me about any gene therapy or anything like that. So as far as I knew, I was taking a vaccine that was tested under exigent circumstances to meet an emergency. I think I'm all right. Maybe I'll be here tomorrow. Maybe I won't. But what you're telling me is basically pay better attention to what's going on. And I'm ashamed to say I haven't.
Let's be clear. You're a marathon runner. I saw you eating a salad during the break.
Shut the fuck up. I saw you eating a salad. I saw you eating a salad!
I love the idea that Alex...
I saw you eating a salad.
I love the idea that Alex is sitting there and he's telling him like all this scary stuff. And Norm is like, I got the vaccine.
Huh?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's funny when people take Alex seriously and try to restate the things back to him that he said and try and act like they give a shit about what
he's kidding. Oh, I took the vaccine and now I'm worried.
Oh, no.
I was so scared. I had no idea that the guy whose show I have been on
a bunch
consistently for the past several years said that vaccines had something inside them that could kill you. This is breaking information to me.
The guy who I weirdly am on his show a whole bunch has been for a year saying, don't get this vaccine. I got both of them.
I got them immediately.
And I'm not.
As soon as I could.
And now I'm scared.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so worried that I'm going to be. Oh, Alex. I could drop dead at any moment, couldn't I?
I will say that he has the acting chops of most comedians that I've met.
No, that's fair.
So he might fit in. Sensitive white dude. Can't act. It's right in there.
Oh, yeah.
So Alex has another guest after Norm bails because he's so worried. He's got to get this vaccine out of him. He's going out there.
Oh, no. If I donate enough blood, I won't have any more vaccine in me.
I imagine that's what he figured.
That does sound right.
So he has Alex now has another person on, and woohoo, Nelly.
So, doctor, thank you, Dr. Carrie Madej, for joining us. I'm not going to go over your whole bio, but here is a shot of it for TV viewers, all the different places you've worked, universities and hospitals and clinics.
So Carrie Madej is not a prestigious doctor who's been right about all this vaccine stuff the way Alex is going to try to present her. She's a QAnon lunatic who's committed a series of public embarrassments that the audience that people like her and Alex have cultivated, they're trained to ignore.
Right.
An article in Vice pointed out a particularly sad instance of Carrie just believing whatever bullshit she saw online. Quote, this past summer, she was convinced that a long debunked website advertising the Cannibal Club restaurant in Los Angeles was in fact a real eatery serving human flesh. We taste like pork, she tweeted. Dear God, help us change the world for the better.
Oh, boy.
Carrie is an osteopath, which on its own isn't necessarily a bad sign. However, being an osteopath on Alex's show, who also believes QAnon shit, means to me that this is just a person pretending to be a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really fascinated when she was like, see, what happens is if you eat a ferret but then go to the Cannibal Club, it takes a year to digest the ferret.
It's true.
But if you eat a person, it only takes a week. See, it's reverse yep. dog year mm-hmm. situations at the yep. Cannibal Club. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense.
And also, I don't know if you remember this person because she has popped up on the show before, but her big claim to fame wasn't saying that like COVID vaccines are going to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Her initial rise to prominence was based around a very not true claim that mRNA would alter people's DNA. This in turn would change their DNA into something that would be patented in advance, so now your DNA was someone else's intellectual property.
Boo!
Yeah.
Boo!
Yeah.
Bad conspiracy!
Yeah, it's real dumb. but that's what she wrote. That's the wave she rode in on.
It really bums me out. It really bums me out that these people don't understand there are way cheaper ways for corporations to steal money from all of us.
They do it cheaply. Yeah,
they do it cheaply.
Yeah.
This is so absurdly complex. Go on, they're stealing your money at a regular low, boring level.
Yeah.
They don't need conspiracies.
No.
No.
As long as things like check cashing places
yes,
exist.
Yes, exactly. What are we bothering?
Or at least exist unregulated
right,
the way they
right,
are.
Right, right, right.
You know, that kind of stuff. Like, why would anyone ever need to create
oh,
genes?
My. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. So stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, you're evil Bill Gates, who's the most evil man in the world, who hates everybody and is creating this vaccine to kill everybody, is against fucking making a generic version of the vaccine that can be sent out around the world. He's actually doing the things that they say he's doing by not doing the thing that they say he's doing.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Yeah.
So anyway,
frustrating.
Carrie is on, and she has some bad news about periods.
And one day I asked my members, I said, does anyone have any problems with their menstrual cycle, infertility, et cetera, since being around someone who's been vaccinated? And I had over 700 responses within 6 to 12 hours. It's unbelievable.
This is anecdotal, and I do not trust the reporting of weirdo Carrie Madej followers online.
Mm.
This is just one of the new trendy things that anti-vaxxers are pushing. It's the idea that people who've been vaccinated are shedding diseases that are affecting people around them.
Yeah.
This is why Mike Adams insists people stay away from vaccinated people and why that dumb school in Florida banned teachers who had been vaccinated.
Mm.
A recent article in the New York Times deals with this in no uncertain terms. Quote, vaccinated people can't shed anything because there's nothing to be shedding, said Dr. Celine Gounder, a infectious disease specialist at Bellevue Hospital Center and a member of President Biden's transitionary advisory team on the coronavirus. Quote, the people who shed virus are people who have COVID. So if you want to prevent yourself or others from shedding virus, the best way to do that is to get vaccinated so you don't get COVID.
Very interesting take from her.
If Carrie wants to make this conspiracy stick, she's basically going to need to create a new theory of medicine.
Yes.
Which would be interesting.
Dan, I've got a new theory of medicine for you.
Uh-huh.
The Lord's will.
Okay. So what about, what does God think about nanotech?
Loves it.
Another
top
thing
five things for God.
Is a very interesting possibility is because we're using nanotechnology, because
nanotech.
They have the ability to be like antennas or uses biosensors, what if they actually are emitting some kind of frequency out there? This is, I know it sounds sci-fi, but it's a possibility.
No, it just sounds dumb.
What if?
What if these shots are putting nanotech into us?
What if, Dan?
Yep.
What if? What if, Dan?
Mm-hmm.
What if? All right. Now, hear me out on this. None of our left feet are real.
Whoa.
None of them.
Shit.
All of this, everybody has one foot. Right foot only, the left foot, all nanobots created by the devil. What if, Dan?
How does this, what does this have to do with the Human Genome Project being made to get Nephilim DNA?
Well, that's where they got the Nephilim DNA. They removed all of our feet.
What does this have to, like, what? It's just,
you're hurting me with your bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, like, we just had Steve Quayle on the other day.
Yeah,
like, what are we doing?
I'm struggling with all of the bullshit you guys are expecting me to handle.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But these are really serious concerns. And it does turn out, I was kind of surprised to learn, that Carrie is still worried about people having patented DNA.
Sure.
And everybody needs to know this. That if any of these synthetic genes, which the spike protein has synthetic genes in them, if the synthetic gene gets integrated into our genome, which can happen because we have enzymes in our body that can do that, if that happens, then you can be owned by whoever owns that patent overnight. The Supreme Court justice has ruled that a human being can be owned if they have a synthetic gene or genome inside of them.
What's that court decision?
Interesting decision for Justice John Roberts to have. Wait, are you?
What's that court decision?
I would like to know. I would like that one.
I fucking don't know.
The Supreme Court.
So, look, I don't find this person all that interesting.
No.
I think that she's a QAnon weirdo who has a bunch of really dumb ideas that aren't based on anything. But this interview devolves.
Okay.
And it turns into a story of her getting inducted into the globalist cult or something. Unclear.
All right. Now you're selling me.
Here we go.
Okay.
Describe that meeting where this whole scientific dictatorship tried to recruit you.
Yes, this was actually a business owners meeting, and we had to be bussed into the location. Our cell phones were jammed. This is around 2014, and we were locked in the building until the meeting was done. And this was a lot of big tech people, CNN, et cetera. I was a small fish. And in there, they talked about how they were going to change and modify the behavior of the people of Georgia with using their smart device, a health app on there, and with somehow getting, they didn't tell us how, a substance inside of their body that would be used as biosensors. The idea is they felt people here are too racist and they're not amenable to different cultures, so they took it upon themselves to change people. And they taught, this is how I know about all these substances inside these injections, because this is how I learned about them. They said these substances would analyze your data, your thoughts, your emotions. They knew if you're lying by a voice inflection app. Also, they knew if you're lying by a polygraph test with your sweat glands, they can do that. Also, your blood sugar level, your electrolytes,
your
breathing. Also, you know, if you're having sex, they are interested in that. If you're drinking alcohol, if you're taking drugs, they know everything about you. Literally, they said they could do it. So they're going to analyze this data, and then they had an algorithm that a computer would be in charge of. And every time you lied, even a little white lie about where you were, the smartphone would know it immediately by these parameters and give you an instant repercussion. And then also over, let's say, 1 to 3 months, all the lies would be added up. And then you would be considered either a good human or a bad human. And the computer would allot you a social credit system or cryptocurrency.
Now, you said this on my show.
This meeting happened, man.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We are bringing together this meeting of the Miracle on 34th Street Friends to determine whether everyone has been good or bad.
I wonder, like, if I were in the position that she is in, one of the ways that I might make myself seem a little bit more credible provide details.
You think?
What's the name of this organization? Who else was there?
It's CNN.
What?
Yeah.
Why was CNN there? You said it was CNN tech was companies.
There. No, it was CNN.
What does that mean?
It's CNN.
Okay.
CNN was there.
Okay. Wait, so the goal is to make people less racist.
Yeah, and that's why they have CNN.
So that's why they have truth serums?
Of course. Well, what detectors? Else? We can't go to MSNBC.
Shouldn't the story be that every time you're racist, you lose points for your credit score?
Nope.
Isn't that
only when you lie.
What the fuck is going on?
So if you're lying about being racist, you will be shocked.
Well, they'll know.
But if you're racist,
they'll know because of your sweat.
You won't be shocked.
Right.
I love the confidence and the worry with which she tells a story of people really just figuring out how magic works and using it in any and every possible way. Because all of that she just said is magic.
Yeah, I would assume that what she went to was like some kind of a get-rich-quick motivational seminar
something like that.
And
yeah.
It's just completely changed. Like one time I went to a Cutco meeting.
Ooh.
Accidentally.
You'll learn a lot from
salesman
a Cutco. You'll learn, one way or another, you'll learn something
I learned
from
how to
a Cutco.
Cut a penny.
See, there you go.
Yeah. And that was the same kind of thing. It was like, you can't leave. Maybe that's, I don't know. This all just seems
she
like
she probably
nonsense.
Bought a timeshare because that's basic. When you're getting a timeshare presentation, eventually you're going to think they're trying to kill everyone.
Yeah. Oh, no. They're going to try and make. And I bet that she was saying something racist and someone was like,
totally.
Hey, calm down.
Hey,
like,
quit being a racist, lady.
They're trying to make people less racist.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, Alex is super into this story because, of course
he is.
Because his dad was, they tried to get him.
CIA dentist.
Yeah,
for sure.
And when he was the smartest boy in Texas, they tried to get him into the globalist depopulation
scheme.
Smartest
boy in Texas.
So Alex reveals something else here that I was unaware of.
Go back to how they recruited you to this, because they do this to a lot of groups. They go, you want to be part of a special thinker group? These are all for the best people, but this is proprietary information. We can't let this out because this company only wants to give you this secret. Did they have you sign a form agreeing to non-disclose? Or what was it like to get put on
obviously
a bus,
not.
Have
She's
your phone taken away,
you.
And be taken there? Because they did this on 9/11 at an Air Force base. They asked all these CEOs to come the day before, said it was a national security emergency. They put them all at 6 a.m. in there. They had Jumbotron TVs, the towers being blown up. We don't
CNN.
Know what they told them this day. They followed orders. But that's, and that even came out. They did that, by the way, you know, that something secret happened on 9/11 inside that hangar.
Wait. Was this the day before or was it on 9/11? What were they shown? And
well,
what
they
are you
got,
talking
they
about?
They got brought there the day before.
Right.
And they had a nice evening. They had a little mixer.
Sure.
Right. And then the next morning they get up. They're all in line for the continental breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring them and they're like, hey, hold on one second. 9/11's happening. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk.
Follow orders.
Yeah. It seems like that's the story that I heard.
Boy, I don't know. This isn't even like, I've seen Loose Change. And that's not,
that
I don't
wasn't
even remember
in there.
That, in
that
there.
Wasn't in there. Strange how many different things happened in the intervening time period between when they did and did not happen.
Very weird.
Mm-hmm.
So she talks a little bit more about this meeting. This is so stupid.
Well, I didn't really know what I was getting into. I thought this was just, you know, more for political reasons. This is a good idea to join. I did it for a year. I had three different people encourage me. And finally, I went to the first meeting, which I just described, which I was completely taken aback. No one prepared me for that. I tried to leave the building and they laughed at me and they said, go ahead. When they unlocked the doors, my cell phone still didn't work. And I didn't know where my car was. Obviously, it was bussed in. So I was stuck there. And there was a non-disclosure in general that was signed, but not for that particular meeting. But
that's how it works. They say, oh, it's a business mentoring group. So for a year, they vetted you, tested you, watched you, and then decided to try to bring you in real first level. Wow.
Yes. And I don't care if I had a non-disclosure in the general sense, because these are crimes against humanity.
Yeah, no shit. That's why there wouldn't be one.
Yeah, that was just a regular old pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that was a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that was a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, non-disclosure agreements do not cover criminal activity.
No.
Everyone fucking knows that.
Yeah.
How would you ever, if you were running a secret, taking over the world, trying to control people with an anti-racism app that will monitor their sweat and dock their pay if they tell a lie.
I was going to turn the person in, but then before I could testify against him, he married me, so it was against the law for me to testify against him. We've all seen movies.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, I was going to blow the whistle on Hitler, but I'd signed an NDA. So
you know, you win some, you lose some.
I went to the court and I told him all
I
told
like,
them
hey,
all of his
Hitler.
Plans, and they said, you're not allowed to talk
about
this.
Hey, look, this is an NDA.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ironclad.
Yeah. That's the part of these supervillain fuck stories that are just so...
So much contract law.
Yeah.
So much inviolable contract law.
Yeah.
Despite dealing with the literal devil himself, known for deception, somehow contract law inviolable.
I'm almost certain this was a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely a pyramid scheme.
Yes.
No, I've heard that story way too many times to not know that's a pyramid scheme.
This is the Nigeria Jade email.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So here's what we do.
I mean, everything makes sense. Like, there's a year of like people being like, "Hey, you should come to this Tupperware party or whatever."
Meeting. Yeah.
Amway is really cool.
It's not. Look, okay. It's not. You're not selling anything. What you're doing is you just get a discount whenever you purchase something, and then if other people use your numbers, they'll get a discount too. But you'll get a little bit of that. Yeah. The globalists are coming to kill you.
Yeah, and the like busing into like a convention center or whatever makes total sense.
Yeah.
Oh God. And the laughing if you want to leave makes sense too, because you want to bully people to or make it seem like they're giving up something or they're foolish to leave.
Right.
Everything is of course, a fucking pyramid scheme.
That is exactly how it works.
God, what a fun. But I love how Alex gets so excited about it, as opposed to dealing with this critically, like, there's no fucking way this happened like you said it did.
No, absolutely not.
So yeah, anyway, that's the only thing I think is really fun about her. Now, we come to the end of this, and Matt Gaetz was not mentioned once.
That does not surprise me, Dan! That does not surprise me!
Roger Stone wasn't brought up at all.
How important it was to defend Matt Gaetz!
Initially.
And so important that you had to insert your own personal stories
and
into it.
Roger came on.
And Roger was there
Roger
to defend him.
Roger came on to defend him.
It seems like now, in his hour of need, Dan... In the most crucial juncture. I've seen 48 hours after the crime.
When now Joel Greenberg has done him dirty.
Done him dirty.
By writing a confession and giving it to Roger.
They gave him, they knew, I know he's lying. I took a polygraph test with his sweat. I know he's lying.
Yeah, shocking. Oh, shocking that story was not covered.
So strange. So weird. It seems like
to be fair, there was a lot to cover, like Alex and Paul Joseph Watson's anger at Muslims.
Yes,
or
in
Norm
France,
Pattis's
by the way.
Sensitivity about whiteness. Or
this
woke QAnon
insurance.
Doctor.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's people with DNA getting IP'd, and now everybody's going to die because of... globalists, and they steal blood.
It's just one of the things too that I've started to recognize and notice about these older episodes that I've listened to, like these 2003 ones. One of the real changes in that I've seen is like there are so fewer guests back then, and I think it's because Alex doesn't have to do shit.
Yeah.
Like he can eat a sandwich or he can let these dum-dums talk. And, like, it's just so easy for him to have five guests on a show as opposed to, like, covering anything.
Yeah, his heart's not in the game.
No,
sucks.
This is a guy with senioritis.
Yeah, I mean, and in his defense, it sucks. Your show sucks, the people you work with suck, and you suck. Of course it sucks.
Yeah.
You should be having a bad time.
Anyway, Jordan,
yes,
we've
Dan.
Come to the end of this, and, man... just embarrassing.
What? What about this episode was embarrassing?
Well,
Dan?
I mean, it's just the... like, anybody who was looking at this from the outside would be aware that news had broken that's super relevant to InfoWars.
Yeah.
And it's news in a story that they have dealt with already, vis-a-vis saying that Matt Gaetz just likes to party.
Yeah. He loves to party.
It seems like the kind of thing you might want to follow up on, especially considering... one of your on-again, off-again employees is in the mix?
Well, and here's the funniest part. Not the funniest part. It's not funny. It's a really fucked up situation.
Sure.
But what's funny about Alex and them being so insistent on, hey, this is a guy who just likes to party, is the more details you find out, the more you're like, he didn't know she was 17 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't find out till later. Oh, you know where that kind of shit happens? If you're a guy that likes to party all the time, maybe you don't ask questions first. It sure seems to be a reasonable situation instead of one where you're making it so ridiculous that this guy could be guilty of this crime.
Sure.
You know, like you built the story that it fits it.
And to the extent that, like, sex workers shouldn't be stigmatized.
Absolutely not.
As long as they're of age and everybody's consenting and everything. That's not, like, anything I would like to shame anybody about.
Absolutely not.
I'm more interested in the selling of pardons.
See, now here's the fun thing about that one. I almost, like, I saw that and I was like, oh, that's totally a crime. And no one's going to follow up on that part. They're going to be like, Gates, get him. Not the, everyone knew that Trump was selling pardons for money. So, everybody knew that so clearly.
Or,
you could text about it.
Or.
You didn't have to go into, like, a parking lot somewhere.
Or people in Trump's orbit were selling influence persuade pardons.
Which, yeah, of course you would.
It's, you know, one or the other it appears to be what... Yeah. A lot of that conversation was about, yeah, it's fucked up, man.
Yeah, that's one of those things where Trump would be like, yeah, if you weren't trying to sell stuff off of my abilities, I would be disappointed in you. You're not doing the job.
Shame
right.
on you.
I'm stealing. Yeah. You should be stealing, too.
I, you know what? I'm confident Alex is going to cover this on Monday.
You think so? You are way too confident.
He's not going to talk about
not
this.
Not a chance.
Until Roger maybe gets arrested again. He insists he's innocent and he's being framed.
Who's Roger texting for, hey, I got 250K in Bitcoin. I could use a pardon right about
now. Let me rephrase that. Who's Roger? Never met the guy.
Never heard of him.
So yeah, we'll be back, Jordan. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We
Facebook,
are
Twitter,
on Twitter and Facebook. It's at knowledgefight. Go to Jordan. iTunes. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area.
We will be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundus.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.